God speaks, the high mountains tremble. When God speaks, the loud billows roll. When God speaks, my heart falls to listening, and there is response in my soul. When God speaks, the angels obey him. When God speaks, all nature is stirred. When God speaks, the hard hearts are softened, for no sweeter voice e'er was heard. Speak to my heart, speak now, I pray. God of salvation and Lord of creation, oh, speak to my heart today. When God speaks, the sad hush their crying. When God speaks, the weary find rest. When God speaks in sweet tones of comfort, with infinite peace I am blessed. When God speaks, 'tis mine then to answer. When God speaks, my tempest to still. When God speaks, 'tis mine then to follow, and following him do his will. Speak to my heart, speak now, I pray. God of salvation and Lord of creation, oh, speak to my heart today. God of salvation and Lord of creation, oh, speak to my heart today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Zach and Skip, for that beautiful but powerful message. Love the voice of the Lord is so powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. So grateful for the Lord's voice, but we've got to listen. We've got to obey. We've got to do what he asks us to do. And I trust that the Lord's going to speak this morning through his word. Let's take our Bibles and go to Esther chapter 8. This is all another springboard message. We're going to look and see something here and then go to another passage that complements it and talks about it. So I'll go to Esther chapter 8, if you would. Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. Aren't you thankful that there is always a morning? Don't you think about that? There's always a morning. Certainly a blessing. There's always a morning. Morning is represented by light. Morning is represented by a renewed energy and strength. Morning is represented by a smile. The morning itself represents rest and recovery. It represents newness. It represents a fresh start. The morning represents a moving on from the past. The morning represents new hope and promise. The morning represents victory. There's always a morning. And mornings are a blessing from the Lord. Esther chapter 8, let's look at verses 16 and 17. Seems to be one of these morning-filled times. Esther chapter 8, in the last two verses. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. You know, I would say in this passage, this is kind of a morning set of verses. Things have been different for the Jewish people. Things have been different for Esther and for her cousin Mordecai. There was a lot of difference. There was a lot of things that had happened, and it was very dark days. All of a sudden, the king's commandment, you know, Haman goes by the wayside, and Esther is there promoted into his home, and Mordecai is greatly promoted into Haman's position, and now Mordecai is the king's right-hand man. And they go to, remember last week, the tears that Esther brought before King Ahasuerus, and she brings her tears before him, and he responds with a tremendous response, and he tells Mordecai, he said, listen, I can't reverse what I said, but you can decree whatever you want to in my name. And so what we're going to see, and this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, what we're going to see is the king kind of said that you can do whatever you want to. You can fight back. You can do whatever you want to defend yourself. He couldn't do anything about the day that he, you know, had said that they would be destroyed. But he said, you go ahead and defend yourself, and we'll do everything we can to make sure that happens. And so Mordecai is his mouthpiece, and he's going to fulfill that. And this is taking place. All of a sudden, the Jews have gone from a horrible, dark situation now to jubilation, and that is expressed in these last two verses. Again, they had light, they had gladness, they had joy, and they had honor. Kind of an amazing set of circumstances and a change with a story. Before the morning, though, there is a night. The night is dark. The night is hard to see through. The night prevents us. It hinders us. It fears us. The night often discourages us. It stops us. The night puts life to rest. And again, there's no doubt that Esther, Mordecai, and the rest of the Jewish people had been living in a time of night, in a time of darkness. The nights were sleepless, fearful, hopeless, discouraging. Honestly, when I went through this and through these thoughts, it really reminded me of Lamentations chapter 3, at which I would actually ask you to turn there. Could you go to Lamentations chapter 3? And I would suggest that Lamentations 3 could have been written by one of these Jews during this time. It wasn't, but it could have been. When I say it could have been, it just sounds like it could have been. We know that it wasn't. Again, a group of people that had everything really to humanly complain about or to be sorrowful about. It was a time of darkness. I want you to look at Jeremiah's struggles in Lamentations chapter 3. And I want us to examine this passage for a little while. Lamentations chapter 3. We're very familiar with this passage. We sing about it all the time, and I think for invitation we might sing it again. But as we are in Lamentations chapter 3, we're very familiar with this set of verses that is given to us here. Lamentations chapter 3, just kind of look over the chapter. I'm not going to take the time to read all the way through it. Here Jeremiah struggles with what he... And again, there's some discrepancy with, you know, who and what and why is being written. But to me, it seems like Jeremiah writes concerning, yes, some struggles that he is going through personally. But as you look at the language, I think that it very likely is he's writing about some things that his very own fellow countrymen were going through as well. And so
here we see kind of a cry of despair. As we look at Lamentations chapter 3, we see in verse 1, I am a man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Just reading the first couple verses. Surely against me is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded me against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in the dark places as they that be dead of old. And it goes on and on. When I look through, and I took a few notes when I went through Lamentations chapter 3, leading us up to the verses that I want to look at. As I went through this, there was just some themes that came out. We read in my words, God is against me or against us. That was coming from Jeremiah. That was coming from the Jewish people. It seems as though the night was there in his mind. There certainly was discouragement. When I look at verse 2, there was discouragement. He hath led me and brought me into a darkness. I would say that when you're thinking about getting to light and you're getting to darkness, that's discouraging. Jeremiah and God's people were discouraged. They thought that God was against them. You even read about physical struggles. Jeremiah talks about his bones and, his body being weak. He was struggling. It had taken a toll not only on his mental capacities, his emotions, but also even his physical. He felt weak through the situation. At times it almost sounds like Jeremiah is blaming God. God, you have done this to us. What was the fact of the matter with this difficult time that God's people had gone through? Whose fault was it? Was it God's fault? It was not God's fault, but they felt that way. There was no light. They were living in the dark. So he seems to almost blame God. He feels that God was far away. Again, I took notes on some of the thoughts that I got through when I read through Lamentations chapter 3. It seemed that God was against him. God was so far away. It's kind of like Jeremiah would offer up his prayers and ask God for a plea of help, and there was no answer. God, where are you? How far are you away? Will you ever come back in all? There definitely was a sense of no hope. Jeremiah, God, and God's people, they felt like there was no hope. Let me ask you a question. You ever felt that way? Now, come on, be honest. You know God's there. I know. You know in truth because you've read his word. You know God's there. None of you would say God's really not there. But did you ever feel that way? I have. Felt in despair, feel struggling. It feels like everything's fallen. The sky's fallen on you. When it rains, it pours. You have struggles. And, the day that it rains is the day that you have these problems. And there are times you get and you feel like, and you've cried out, you've asked God, you've been asking God for a while, you haven't heard a thing. It sounds like he's so silent. It sounds like he's gone. It sounds like he has gone against you. In fact, if anything, it almost seems like God's heaped up things against you. There's no doubt that many of us, if not all of us, have felt times like that. Maybe you knew better, but you still felt as if there was no help. God, where are you? And in fact, God, are you against me and what is going on right now? I want you to look at verse 19, because 19, the story begins to change just a little bit. Certainly Jeremiah and God's people felt in a time of darkness. Again, as I go back through some of those things, the night, let me read through what I read in the beginning again, not about the morning, but the night's dark. What does that mean? The night's hard to see through. You know what I mean when I say that? The night's hard to see through. You feel like you can't see through the end. Where's this going? And for some reason, at least for me, the night really, literally, is a hard time to think through things. Sometimes one of the worst times to go through struggles and problems is at night. Because you can't, I really think there's something to it. You can't see. And I think even in our hope, a lot of times you can't see. some of the most miserable times are at night when there just seems like you can't, you've worked and worked and worked and there is no end to something. The night is hard to see through. The night prevents us. Again, you feel like you're at a roadblock. It hinders us. There's some sort of a fear tonight. You say, Pastor, I'm not afraid of the dark. You know, you might not be an individual. I've told you many times that I was an individual afraid of the dark growing up. The night feared me. There's still an element. I don't, you know, when it gets dark outside, I don't start crying. Still to this day, I kind of grew out of that one. But there's still an element of a dark situation that's fearful. You understand what I'm talking about? When you don't know where the light's coming from. And there's a lot of fear. I've some of my most fearful times have been at night. Again, not going back to the creepy crawlies, but we're never going to get out of this kind of a situation. Where's hope? Again, you feel you're fearful. The night is often discouraging because you're not seeing the end of the road. Because you're not, you know, you're still discouraged. It's you're fearful. You're discouraged. You feel like you're at a stopping point. Nothing can happen. So many times I have felt that again. And at night, the night puts life to rest. I mean, really, it does. In every, even if you're not going through a difficult time, I mean, you've had life, and then nighttime brings about rest. But it kind of like almost gives the idea of, I'm not saying death, but there's something about nighttime that is so different. Because everything is generally quiet. It just seems like... I've tried to think through or explain to some of my children if they were ever having a struggle at night. You know, if we could flip... You know, it could be midnight and things are maybe scary and kind of like some of the things that I read. And if somehow you had the ability to flip on the lights, everything would change. Have you ever thought through that? I mean, it really would. There have been times, you know, been out in the woods or something like that and not exactly knowing how to get back. And can you imagine if all the lights came on, it would change your situation totally. All the fears would go. You wouldn't be as discouraged, you know, because the light would come. The night would be over. And so, you know, thinking through, I want you to think through this with the darkness. Again, and God's people going through this struggle. Now we have Jeremiah. The nation of Israel is struggling. I mean, you read darkness, don't you, when you look at Lamentations chapter 3? You read darkness. These people are very struggling. Jeremiah is struggling. And then you get to verse 19, and I hope that there's some comfort here. Not just preaching, you know, great is thy faithfulness. But I want you to see some important things that do come from this set of verses. 19 is the start of this. You know, right in verse 18, you still have it. And I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. So in verse 18, he's still right in the middle of his struggles. And then verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. So, you know, still in 19, he's setting, it's almost like he's setting down, he's remembering all that he's going through in his struggles. He says in verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance. So he's thinking through all these things. He's remembering the difficulties that he's gone through, the nation of Israel's gone through. And then he says, is humbled in me. He's about ready, a light is about ready to turn on, and he's very humbled. He's very humbled about something. You know, when we are thinking in a night situation, it is a very... I want to be careful in how I say this. It's a very self-focused time. We're very concerned about what we are going through. It's a hard time to really trust. Who's the object of faith and trust? Well, we know that it's supposed to be God, but it's whoever we're focusing on, right? I mean, your faith and trust. You know, my faith and trust might be in a check that's going to come in the mail tomorrow, and if that's where I put my focus on... it's really about trust and having faith that is going to meet my needs. And so we focus on certain things, and that's gonna help us when we focus on those things because we feel like those things are going to get us through. Again, in the nighttime, it's difficult because we don't see those things. And so we're not having faith, we're not trusting, we're worrying, we're fearing. Those things are, we're focused on ourselves, we're not focused on the deliverer, the one that's going to help us. Here, Jeremiah says that he's humbled. It's almost like something's going to happen. He's been focused on himself, and all of a sudden he's humbled. To think through something else, and he says in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind." Something humbled him. Something came in. Something kind of shot through the dark. It's an amazing time in Jeremiah's thought process here. He said, "This I recall to mind," and whatever it was would give him hope. Something had penetrated the tunnel of darkness that Jeremiah was going through, and all of a sudden it encouraged him. He was encouraged in his life. He was encouraged as he would move forward. And here it is in verse 22. It was a thought of something that certainly wasn't all about him. It is of, and here was his thoughts, here was his hope. It was of the Lord's mercies that he, or we, are not consumed. Definitely there were thoughts. Jeremiah understood that it was only because of God's mercy that they were even there. When we're thinking about, when we're thinking of things and our struggles in the dark, in the thick of night, when there is no direction, there's no hope, you cannot see through, it seems like everything is stopped, you're hindered, you're fearful, you're discouraged. It is at this time that all of a sudden Jeremiah remembers something amazing. He said, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for His tender mercies to me, if it wasn't, excuse me, for God's mercy, I wouldn't even be here. I would be dead. I would be gone. There would be no night to even go through. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. He goes on to say, because His compassions fail not. So speaking of His compassions that fail not, we get to verse 23 that says, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. What is the word "they" referring to? Verse 23, they are new every morning. That's going back to what? We go back from verse 23 to verse 22. What's the "they" there? His compassions that fail not. God's compassions that never fail. So I want us to first look at God and His compassions for us that don't fail. Have people failed you? What's the answer? Yes. You know, people in our lives, they fail us. We count on people and they fail us. You count on an individual to help you and they fail. People fail. Have you ever been failed by a situation in life? You were counting on something to happen, things to happen, and it failed you. You were counting on sunshine and the rain came and it failed you. People fail us. Situations fail us. Have your health fail you? You were counting on a physical body to do a certain thing, and your health, your physical body failed you. People fail us. Situations fail us. Health fails us. Everything in life tends to fail us. But the words that are used here are interesting. His compassions fail not. What does that mean? They don't fail. Honestly, we look at it and say they never end. They never come to an end. The words mean that they're never spent up or used up. But there's something more to this phrase that I want to show you. When it says that his compassions fail not, it's speaking a little bit more of the unconditional love that he has given to us. We don't ever get so frustrating to God that he stops. That's what the idea is here, that they don't fail. It's God's unconditional love. It's as if that I don't push God's buttons so far that God says, all right, no more compassion. They don't ever fail. They continually are there. And this unconditional love, this failing not, I believe, is the key with this phrase. It's so unconditional. God's mercy to you has nothing to do with you. We kind of spoke on that in our Sunday school hour. His mercy has nothing to do with you. Sometimes God's mercy comes to us and we have a tendency to think it must be because I've been really doing well. My friends, I want to tell you, when God's mercy comes to you, it's not because you've really been doing well. It's because God is a merciful God. And we need to be very careful not to get tricked into thinking, boy, God's mercies have been so much in my life, I must be doing right. That has nothing to do with his mercy. God's mercy is available. It's unconditional. God's unconditional love, his compassions that you have are coming because of who God is, not because of who you are. Now, in some cases, that could deflate a person that's filled up with pride, thinking, you know what? I deserve all these things, and God has been so merciful because I must be pleasing the Lord. You know, I'm doing this, and I'm going to church, and I'm doing this, and so God's mercies. My friend, you need to get rid of those thoughts because you're not earning God's mercy and his grace. We twist that up so much in our Christian lives. I do all the time, and I'm admitting that, Pastor, you do. I do all the time. I trick myself into thinking because I'm doing right with certain things, almost like, you know, God's going to just bless me so much because of what I'm doing. See, what happens when we get that thought? We're taking away the grace and the mercy that God has and who he is. And all of a sudden it becomes very works oriented. We've got to remember, go back to salvation. How are we saved? For by grace are you saved through faith, right? And that not of yourselves, it is a, help me out here, it is a gift of God. There's a lot of powerful words in that passage. For by grace, there's the first word. It's by grace. Grace is something that you cannot earn. Grace. Do you know that we not only are saved by grace, but we live by grace? Now, I could substitute mercy in there as well. It's God's mercy and grace, a little bit different, but it's the same thing. It's for by grace are you saved through faith. Or if we could say, you know, for by mercy are we saved, because both are involved. We're saved through grace, we're saved through mercy. And that not of ourselves, okay? It's not of ourselves. We can't do anything. We can trick ourselves into thinking that we're good boys and good girls, and God's going to have compassion on us. Now, again, that can be a little bit on the negative side of things when we look and we think so much of us, we're so good people, you know, I get God's mercy and get God's grace. No. Not at all. But can I tell you, I really want it to be more on the encouraging side. For those of you who are defeated and discouraged because you feel like you're still trying to get over the hump and you fail every day, I'll tell you something, more than your failures every day, God fails. God's mercies never fail. God's mercies abound more than your failure. That's kind of a twisted way to look at it, but his ability to never fail is greater than your failures. Did you catch that? His I'm going to say it again. His ability to never fail are much greater than your failures. Isn't that good? That is something to thank the Lord for. That changes Jeremiah's thoughts a little bit. We have failed. You're against us. And all the bad things that are going on, all of a sudden, he recalled and he was humbled and he thought, you know what, we shouldn't even be here. God, you're so good. You know, some of us tend to live down in Lamentations 3. And we ought to start living in Lamentations 3 in this side of things. because it would renew a lot in our spirits. His compassions fail not. The phrase has everything to do with unconditional mercy. It's overriding grace and mercy. There's going to be elements here in just a moment that talk about it never ends and newness. But this phrase here, they fail not, means you can't fail God's mercy. Even when you lose it and you ruin it and you mess up, God is not waiting there for you to... His arms are open. His compassions fail not. Compassions, that deep inner gut love, his bowels of yearning for you, never change, no matter what you do. So the first phrase there has everything to do with unconditional mercy. Nothing that you can do can change God's mercy to you. That's good stuff. That is very good. And we need to understand that. God is with us and he doesn't fail. I want you to see another thing, though. So we have this, praise the Lord, that his mercies don't fail. Again, the point is not that they just keep going. The point with that phrase is that you can't do anything to get out of them. His mercy. But notice that it says that they're new every day. As we look in the next verse, they are new every morning. His compassions fail not, and those compassions are new every morning. I like the idea of the every morning and the every day. As I studied this, it's as if there is a fresh, new supply of God's loyal love every day. Sometimes we feel like we use up God's storehouse. All right, God had to certainly have compassion on me at this time, you know, to have mercies, you know, here. And, you know, God, it's like God has 10 things, and one by one through the day, we use them up. And we get to the end of the day, and we're thinking, all right, I got about one more mercy point left. That's what this one has to do with, okay? The first one had to do with unconditioned. Doesn't matter who you are. This next one has, you know, talking about quantity. It's never used up. It's never used up. You say, but I really pushed God yesterday. I really failed all day long. Not only does it not matter conditionally, but the quantity, it never is used up. Never, ever. Every single day. And this is what I like, because again, we're going to see about the aspects of the morning. Every morning, think through this, every morning when we wake up, out there on the table is a brand new batch of fresh, you're hoping I'm going to say pancakes or something like that. No. Fresh mercies that are handmade, made to order, designed for you, tailored for you, wrapped up in a big bow of love, presented as a present to his beloved. See, Pastor, that is a very odd way to look at his mercies. My friend, that's what it means. His mercies are new every morning. You ever done something very special for somebody that you love? it went to a lot of effort to get it there and to make it so nice and to so, you know, you wrote that note and every word and something went into it and you prepared it. You spent a lot of money on it. You wanted to do. And, you know, you just had something so, and you, why did you do it? You wanted it because you wanted to show that love. And it was special. And you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait. You weren't counting the cost. Like, I spent $150 on that thing. No, you don't even care how much you spent because you just want them to go. It doesn't matter what you spent. You want them to get it. You want them to come out. You want them to be thrilled. You want them to joy in it. It's not negative. Your point is you're not hoping that they come out and say, wow, how much did you spend on that one? Your point is not to come out and say, boy, you worked a long time on that project. You're not thinking about that. You want them to see how much you love them. My friend, his compassions, his mercies are brand new. Every single morning, God in his loyal love has wrapped up the most beautiful present that he can give. He's got it there on the table for you every single morning. And they're mercies and compassions that overcome your sin. I don't know about you, but that means a lot to me. Not that he's planning on my sin, but God knows me so much, he's going to need a lot. He's going to need a lot today. But that's okay, because I've got a storehouse. And he picks up and he's there heaping new, fresh mercies on the table for me today. And there he is standing there waiting for me to come in every single day. God's a good God, folks. God's a good God. His love is, his compassions, his mercy are unconditional. They're unending. You can't quantify them. He says they're new I've been saying every day, but he says morning. Obviously, morning represents a new day. But the morning represents a starting over. As I read to you in the beginning, morning is represented by light. It's represented by renewed energy and strength. It's represented by a smile. It's represented by, morning represents rest and recovery and newness, freshness, moving from the old to the new, from the past to the present or the future. It represents new hope and promise. It represents victory. Folks, there's always a morning. There's always a fresh pile of overcoming supplies that supply us with victory. Victory! Do you know that every morning that you get up, you can start your day in victory? Because it's a new morning. It's a new day. There's hope. There's light. I like the phrase abounding grace because there's always more victory than the enemy's defeats. Always. There's always more. So we see these compassions. Compassions that will not fail. They're unconditional. Compassions that are there every day or every morning. Countless. Thirdly, we see that God has fresh new compassions for you every day because of His faithfulness. The reason why God cares for so much is because God is faithful. Now, when we look at this faithfulness, we tend to think that faithfulness is something that is just ongoing. It's kind of like that, I don't even know because I don't really watch television these days, but back when I used to, there was the Energizer Bunny. Is the Energizer Bunny still beating the drum? I don't know. You say, no, that was a long time ago, Pastor. Right, okay. But they said that the Energizer Bunny wasn't ever going to stop. You know, again, it just, that was the point with the batteries. It just never ends. You know, it keeps going. The idea of his compassions, they fail not, and they're new every morning. His faithfulness. Faithfulness here doesn't just have that idea of it just keeps going and going like the Energizer Bunny. It's much more than that, and I would suggest to you it's much greater than that. Again, when it says, because of his faithfulness, or great is thy faithfulness, and I believe Jeremiah is writing here, and he says, you know, his mercies, or his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. And then he steps back, and it's kind of like he says, because, God, you're a great God, or you're a faithful God. He's given the reason here. It's more than just going on, but rather it's faithfulness because it's brand new that continues to go on, that these compassions that are there on the table, and they're brand new, they're unopened. They've never been experienced before. They've never been used by anybody else. It just blesses and blesses and blesses with new. And the thing that is so important to this is that it's in the face and in the light of trials and darkness. Darkness, faithfulness. Darkness, or if I could say night, and faithfulness. Night, darkness, faithfulness. What I'm trying to say here, what this passage is talking about is no matter what we're going through in life, God always gives us a morning that richly blesses us with not just a fresh start, but a faithful God that's going to continually have new, unopened treasures for us to experience through our life in the face of darkness. Overcoming darkness. The morning is such a blessing. Again, we're talking about in the face of trials, struggles, the difficult things that you face. Tomorrow morning, there's no doubt, or I should start off tonight. You know, you might go to bed tonight, and there are going to be trials facing you. But understand something, there's always a morning, and there's always a God that is delighting and can't wait, if I could personify Him, can't wait until, when is He going to get up? Because I've got an unopened batch of mercy for Him to come and open up that's fresh, no one's ever used. My friend, that is the definition of a faithful God. Faithfulness in light of unfaithfulness. The backdrop. The backdrop. Light is so much greater because of the darkness. My friend, there is so much to be thankful for with a God that is so good. He is faithful. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. For His anger endureth but a moment. Certainly there are times when we don't please the Lord. And I'm not suggesting, by the way, that God is always pleased with everything that we do. His anger endureth for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. This wasn't so much of a Thanksgiving message, but I hope it will turn out to be that way for you. As a Christian, we go through dark times. You will go through dark times. But let's be ever grateful and thankful for mornings. Mornings in which God has gone out of His way. And He can't wait to just bless you with His mercy. Again, so twisted. He can't wait to bless you with something that overcomes your faults and your sin. I don't know if I have effectively gotten the point across, but it's a tremendous thought. A tremendous thought that we get. How does this have to do with Esther? Because I tell you what, when we read, this group of people were in a dark time. God in His mercy, it wasn't because they were so good of people. It had nothing to do with Esther, had nothing to do with Mordecai, had nothing to do with the Jewish people. Honestly, they were still living in a lot of defeat. They were still, in many cases, living in one foot in one place and one foot in another. Yet God in His mercy showed up. And these people could rejoice. The people could end in jubilation because of what God had done. My friend, we can have this kind of joy on a daily basis. Every single day we can wake up. We can wake up and see the sun outside. We can wake up and see the light. Wake up and see, you know, what God has for us. God has mercies that He's waiting for us to live in. God, I pray that You would help us to see that. Nighttime is tough. Darkness is strong. It's rather debilitating. But God, may we choose to live and dwell in Your faithfulness. Your faithfulness that is so new. Your faithfulness that is unconditional. Faithfulness that never ends. Faithfulness that is light opposed to darkness. God, thank You. Thank You. Lord, I pray that we can glory in that this Thanksgiving season. Lord, all these things are possible because of Jesus and His death on the cross. God, we're grateful. Lord, give us hope.